This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to Busha and this is Leigh Link on Joy 94.9, coming to you live from Melbourne, Australia. Send me a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Now on tonight's show, I have a lovely co-host, Roshan. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
Oh, yeah, magic. I'm excited.
I'm glad you are. So tonight we're going to be discussing the hidden costs to being a woman in the straight and the gay community. We're also going to be talking about when's the right time for the first time.
Always.
I know. So if you have an opinion on when the right time for the first time is, send us a message. Tell us when you think the right time for the first time is, because we have an interesting take on this article we found in the straight community, and we're going to see if the gay community is slightly different, because we think it's slightly out. But anyway, and then we're also going to be talking about this lovely blogger who was married to a man, then became a lesbian, and now has returned to men. And her blog is interesting, let's just say that. And she discusses her experiences and her things that happened to her. And yeah, she has an interesting take on the whole gay and lesbian. And
I got whiplash already. I can't handle it.
Anyway, so that's what's going to be on our show. So if you want to join in on the conversation, just send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Now, for those of you who may not know, I found something interesting, always find something interesting, in The Age and online and everything. So the Coalition has announced that they're going to have it's basically the No Discrimination on Coalition Relationship Vouchers. So what's happened is that... Yeah, the Australian Christian Lobby.
They're bringing it in. They're going to give us $200 if we go for marriage. So if we say we're going to get married, which, you know, we can't, so we can't go and say that. But if we go and say we're going to go get married, then they're going to go, oh, here you go. Here's $200.
Yeah. So basically the Australian Christian Lobby went to the Liberal Party and basically said, what will the party do to encourage marriage and resilience in couples' relationships? So the Coalition had a bit of a think and they came up with this $200 voucher for couples. Now, finally, they haven't excluded us.
Yay!
So same-sex couples can apply for this $200 voucher, but don't get all excited, people. It's not like a $200 voucher for your local department store. It's a $200 voucher for...
We've got sex counselling. So in your marriage, you can get all the counselling you need so that one day you can happily not get married.
It's relationship counselling, not sex counselling.
Isn't that the same thing?
I don't think so.
If you're having problems, it always comes down to sex.
No, I think it's relationship. It's to teach you how to communicate better.
How to communicate. Well, I think the communication issue is breaking down where the sex starts happening. There you go. Problem solved. Everyone's happy. More sex creates more happiness.
So, yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Coalition. For not giving us marriage equality, but at least when we register our interest to become a couple, we can apply for this. So we have to register our intention to marry.
Yeah.
Which is great because that's a
we have lots of intention.
That's a slap in the face. So we register our intention to marry. You won't give us it, but oh yeah, hold on, you'll give us $200 for relationship counselling.
Score.
Thanks, Coalition. So, yeah. So, Roshan, what do you think? You're ready to apply for your $200?
I've just filled out the form now. I'm really keen on this relationship, couples, marriage, you know, counselling. I love it too because I'm going to rock up solo and ask them what the problem is. So it'll be great. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be pretty funny. Anyway, sorry. I'm just reading some messages that people are sending in, which I'll read in a moment. So we're going to be talking about tonight about the hidden costs to being a woman in the straight and gay community. We're also going to talk to you about when the right time for the first time is. And we're going to look at this lovely, hasbian. We call her a hasbian? We'll call her a hasbian.
I'm sticking with crazy lady, but yeah, you know, she's going to give you a whiplash for sure. She's not sure what she wants, you know. She's there and then she's out of it. She's playing, you know, the hokey pokey. She's putting hand out and in. She can't make her mind up, honestly.
Sorry, sorry, my head went to the wrong image when you said that.
Of course it did.
I'm so sorry. Anyway, so if you'd like to join in on our conversation, just send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Busha and Roshan. This is Leigh Link on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leylink on Joy 94.9. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. Now, during the week, a few weeks ago, I found this lovely article in the paper where I just had to laugh and had to chuckle, and I had to share it with you all because I thought we've got to share the love of this. So it's called The Hidden Costs for Being a Woman.
All the costs.
I know.
Bring it on. Money, money, money.
So basically this reporter was asked, should men pay for dinner dates? And then to that she answered, absolutely not. You know, and then she gave this whole spiel about how the men should
women
pay.
Power.
And female power, yeah, that, you know, and everything. And then, you know, she wrote that no dude should pay, definitely not. They shouldn't pay for dinner.
I believe she says no willy means the wallet shouldn't be open. She reckons just because you have a willy, your wallet doesn't need to be open on a first date.
Yeah, which I thought was quite funny. And so I had a bit of a laugh. She then thought about it and actually thought that, you know, she had 7 points about it. So she's basically written that it costs up to $385 just to make it to the table. What with the eyebrow shape, the mani-pedi, the waxing, the hair, not to mention the dress you just bought at 60% off. So, yeah, and then, of course, you know, you've got to shell out for a personal trainer and maybe just, yeah, a bit of a lipo if you can't fit into
exactly.
That sexy little dress.
Yeah, that's bonkers. Yeah, that's so much money on a date, on a first date. Do you do it? Would you fork out that much money? Like, that's nearly $400.
No.
To me, that's like a bunch of PlayStation games or, you know, something like a date. Come on. You don't even know if that's a sure deal yet, you know?
I know.
For $385 on not a sure deal, that's ridiculous. That's
now,
a gamble.
Look, I will get ready.
Yeah.
I'll do some personal maintenance, let's put it that way.
Sure, but does it cost money? Costly
maintenance. No, because I do it myself.
Ah, there
you go.
So,
you know, you can just do certain things yourself.
So we've got to do a bit of do-it-yourself renovations on oneself, essentially. I think that's a great idea.
You know,
save
you can
yourself.
Do your own nails and things like that. You can do all these kind of things. Yes, you know, you need to make sure you're trim and tidy,
okay.
Just in case.
Fair
you,
call.
You don't know how that date is going to go and you don't want to be, you know, caught by surprise.
No, never.
But I must say that no, I have not been known to buy a new outfit for a date. I'll usually
do
find
you
some.
Reuse?
Of course I reuse.
Reuse that outfit. Like, have you ever bought an outfit for a date and then known that you possibly have another date later down the track that you're like, yep, recycle, I'm going to use that. Because
no.
That's this $400 spread over
yeah,
two dates.
Exactly.
Clever.
No, as I said, I've never bought an outfit for a date. I'll buy an outfit because I like it.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through the wardrobe and go, oh, you know what? I think I want to wear this tonight. But I won't actually physically buy an outfit.
No. Go out of your way to do it.
Yeah, the only time I'll actually physically go out of my way to buy an outfit is if, like, I'm going to a wedding or something and I need something a bit fancy. Then fair enough. But, yeah, I'll go out and buy some. I'll have nice clothes. Like, I won't go in, like, you know, crappy old clothes, right? But,
cargos.
You know, but, yeah, I won't go and do the 300 and whatever. What about you?
$85. I don't know, man. For me, you go onto a date and the idea is to get a representation of me. So straight away, my tie-dye shirt goes on and the comfiest cargo pants I own. And, of course, shoes that I've had for over a year that probably have a hole in them. But that's all me. I'm not deceiving. And so if there's the possibility of a second date, congratulations to me because they have just liked the most ridiculous person ever. But there's no deception. No deception, no hidden secrets. And I tell you what, no costs for me, that's for sure.
See? And then, okay, then she goes on to number two. So point two is trusting the date goes well and you become a couple, that the female will be assuming all responsibilities for gift purchasing in the future. So she'll be basically buying the couple's presents for his mother and cousins and whoever's parties and stuff he's going to.
I had to laugh
because I'm thinking, yeah, but I'm thinking, I don't think that happens in gay couples because either maybe you have one person that buys, but yeah, you'll probably share or I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, again, this comes back to I'm the laziest person in the world. So when it comes to presents, I have to send a Facebook message the day after and say sorry. So, you know, when it's up on presents, I'm not that. That's never going to happen. But I think straight-wise, when you think of it, that's totally true. Massively true. Because, I mean, I know my brother. He does not know my birthday. I get a text from his girlfriend saying love from the both of us, which is really good. Because I think maybe it came up in conversation, my brother remembers it's my birthday. But it's up to her to remind him, which, you know, I'm happy about. I get more recognition. But in a gay relationship, yeah, no, I don't think I think it's just whoever's on the ball and who's not on the ball, or who's on their Facebook events and who isn't on their Facebook events. Because if you don't look at that thing for a month, you've got a lot of cranky friends that had birthdays that you forgot about. But if you look at that event, it'll tell you when those birthdays are, and you've got to get onto it. You've got to write that little Facebook message saying happy birthday and you're in trouble.
I know. No, it's not bad. And point three had to make me laugh. So it says here, tradesmen wrought us. Whether you're charging your car, or you're going to a tradesman, or you're getting them to do something, that they're going to charge you women's rates.
That's awesome.
I know. I had to laugh because I thought, you know what? Us sisters, I think we have it a lot better, because either we'll have some friend who actually, like, we'll maybe know how to service our car or do some stuff on the car. We'll know someone who can.
Exactly, exactly.
Or we just look up for some great gay tradies.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Google is the power of anything. You can find anything on Google. So
you know.
Probably could. I think that's a valid point. I think that's valid. I don't think, you know, for maybe femme, you know, lesbians out there that, you know, if they don't know cars, but I'm not saying that all femmes don't know about cars, but if they don't know, and if they rock up to, you know, a garage or something, that's a possibility. But it doesn't mean you need a guy. It does not mean need a guy.
The way I did it with garages was I would ask them to always give me the parts that they removed from my car. So I said, look, just in the boot, there's a garbage bag. Can you throw out all the old parts that you've taken out of my car? And I said, yeah, because I just want to take them down to my dad and his mechanic to just have a look.
Oh, clever. There we go. Everyone can use that one. That's a great one.
And they would always give me the parts.
Yeah.
And some of the, if they were big, I'd just say, oh, look, mate, you know what? I'm not taking that one. It's all cool because I'm thinking I'm not going to fit that in my car.
I believe you.
And I'd take it. But just so that then they felt that I'm actually looking at what they've taken out of my car.
Yeah, right.
And then what I did with that later, it was none of their business. They didn't know that I didn't take it to anyone.
Excellent. That's really good.
But, yeah, you just got to think of
false
it cleverly.
Confidence.
I know.
Love
you just got to make them think that you know what you're talking about.
Keep them on the toes. Yeah, totally.
But, you know, so there are ways around it. Oh, here we go. Point four is that fashion demands, you know, that you've got to, you know.
You've got to be up with it, I suppose.
Yeah, and they're just saying that, you know, women are slaves to fashion.
Yeah, definitely. Those holy shoes I wear, I'm totally making an impression. I'm like, you know what? I hope someone's watching me right now and thinking how great those shoes are, especially when they can see my pinky toe at the end of it. You know, it's just great. Happy days.
Yeah, maybe that's a little bit of, you know, foreplay. Hello, that's my pinky toe.
Oh, toes involved and all. That's excellent.
Sorry. Point five I thought was a bit stupid. She's talking about the fact that, you know, she's talking about the male chromosome and the fact that they're all that in a bag of chips and they're cool and they're and I'm just like, yeah, I didn't like that point, so I'm not even going to talk about it. Then she mentions the fact that, you know, Billy Crystal had to pay for old Meg Ryan's, you know, lunch or dinner in When Harry Met Sally, and because she faked an orgasm, and that's why men have to pay.
I feel like she deserved that lunch, though.
Yeah, she did.
That was a win.
That was a good performance.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you're going to have to put off that kind of a performance, you know, then you deserve a lunch.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think so. Especially in public. I mean, she handled that like a boss.
Yeah, she was brilliant. And, you know, but I don't think that the lesbians do that much. I don't know about faking in the community. I'm sure possibly it's done.
Oh, I think it is. I think it is a lot more than people would let on.
But, yeah, you know, you don't want to go over the top. You want to keep it low-key, but
keep it mid-range vocal-wise.
Yeah, but I just think you just have a dialogue and just say, look, or just move hands and people's heads and stuff. And
let's do a reshuffle. We need to reshuffle this.
You just
need to move it along.
A bit of a move, and you get it happening, right?
Make sure there's music on so there's a mood while you're moving. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, just say, oh, sorry, that's a bit of a sore point. Let's just go over here and just move them and then just, you know, bit of direction never goes astray, ladies. And gentlemen, of course, as well, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So you
definitely
can just help them out.
You've got to know what you're doing, I suppose. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know. They may not like something that you're doing, so you just got to let them know that, hey, that's not really my cup of tea and let's move on, right?
I suppose. But I think, you know, bringing it back to this is that I think the idea is that you should get lunch after you've achieved said goal, you know? So, you know, if you have...
Well, she was in the middle of lunch.
Well, yeah. In that case. I mean, not all of us would go and give our dates a preview of what they could get later in the middle of lunch. I don't know how often that happens. To me, it seems like it would be a rare occasion. One that you wouldn't see often in a lifetime, but hey, people do crazy things.
You know. And then her last point is about the fact that, you know, women have to give birth and so therefore they, you know, basically ruin themselves more or less because they have...
Especially financially, she's banging on about that.
Is that
even if you're a barrister or a supermarket shelf sucker, that financially having a baby leaves women in a worse place, so therefore men should pay for the first date, because the potential of birth and a child at the end of it is what you'll come up and say, well, this is for the first date, I paid for it, so you have to now take care of my baby forever, and all of your financial anything goes into my child. So yeah, I feel bad for the guy that, you know, he's going to be stuck with someone like that.
I know. I feel really sorry for the male that's dating that poor woman, because, yeah, she's never going to get a date, because if she comes to the, you know, the dinner with that kind of attitude.
From the first date.
Like, I know. It's like she's just overthinking it.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think everyone needs to relax.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, but it's great to see that the lesbians are winning here.
No,
because I think we don't do any of that.
Hands up if you spend more than $10. Nope.
You know, but yeah, and that's the thing. And I think that, I don't know, do you do a 50-50 split? Does the person who, I think the person who asks the other person
I
out.
I like that point.
Possibly
I really like that point.
Pays, but, you know, maybe you split it.
I don't know. I think maybe for a lesbian or for a gay relationship, it's a lot more awkward. Because for this, excellent. She gets to assume straight away. Like, she's done a massive U-turn. Yeah, no, I'm a feminist. I'm get to pay for dinner. But then she's gone and given us 7 points as to why the guy should pay for dinner. So it's generally understood that a guy's going to pay. That's an easy conversation for those two. They know how it's going to go down. With lesbians and gays, we've got to go, there's the bill. And it gets awkward. It gets weird. So I think you're right. I think whoever takes somebody else to dinner, they get the bill. Bill's theirs, all yours. But if, I mean, I don't know. If it's a second date and you're already aware that you're financially awesome and the other person is not, maybe give them a break. Just pay for the bill. They're struggling. They're trying to be impressive. Just
Yeah, that's what I think. You know? Yeah, or just don't take them to a restaurant where that may be out of their price range.
But you don't want to go too far the other side, right? Because what if you take them to fish and chips? Could send totally the wrong message. Guilty.
If you're taking a date to a second date to fish and chips.
Look, I did a Macca's one time and it actually worked out really well because it was so ridiculous. Okay, we had the cheesecake from the cookie and cream from McCafe. It was fully romantic. It was great. And it was so ridiculous that it made it great. So who knows?
Yeah, I know. I think it's what you make. You can even like take the second date and do a picnic somewhere.
Totally.
And that doesn't have to cost a lot of money. You just have to be inventive.
Absolutely. And you have to have a basket.
Yeah.
Don't take bags. The birds.
What happens if you're taking a basket with you? Sorry.
It's
a basket case with you as your date.
Well, most 9 times out of 10 you probably are.
But, yeah, I just had to laugh when I read that because I thought, yeah, these poor straight women, they're dating these poor men. And these
they have
men,
to spend $400.
I know. And it just appears that these men have no idea.
But there's this struggle, yeah.
I know, but she's just gone completely out of it. But anyway, so, you know, so there you go, ladies. So lesbians, we are one up on the straight women. So, you know, that's lesbian power for the evening. What do you think?
We don't spend ridiculous amounts of money for dates. For us.
So send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leylink on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leylink on Joy 94.9. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email it onair@joy.org.au. Now, we've been talking about the hidden costs for being a woman, comparing being a straight woman and how much expensive it is, and that the lesbians can do it on a really good budget. So,
especially
yay.
The first date.
Yeah, I know. So, yay, lesbians. We finally win one over the straight women. So,
yes.
Yay to us. Women power is out there.
Woo.
And now we're going to talk about when is the right time for the first time.
I love this. I think this is excellent. I find it funny. I really like it here. The main idea of this article, essentially, that I think the important part is out of a study from a dating site, they've found that 48% of Aussies have sex on or before the third date.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
So it's 10% on the first date, 16% on the second, and 23% on the third date. And I'm guessing the other 52% basically probably don't make it past the first date. So they maybe even bail within the first date. I'm guessing.
Maybe that's it, yeah. Or, and this is my hunch.
Or they wait a lot longer.
I think they just cut to the chase. Because I'm not in any of those percentages. I'm in the before percentage where we don't worry about that date thing.
Yeah, I think that's where the gay... So, yeah, I think pretty sure that's where the gay community sits. I think a lot of the gay community... We're over-stereotyping here, people, so just, you know,
of
just
course.
Calm down. Yeah, I think that either before the first date or the first date. What are you...
I mean, I don't know. I really feel like the date is sort of dependent on how the first time went. Like, because if they're not, you know, this is just my opinion, but if they're not performing to the standards that I prefer, why would I want to date? Like, it's all right. We've done the deed. You know, let's part. Let's, you know, I'll see you around. Take care. But if it's awesome, then I'll exchange the, you know.
The phone numbers and the names.
Maybe
and
we should go to a first date. Look, yeah, maybe.
Sorry.
But no, you know.
Love
honestly,
them and leave them. Ocean. Woohoo. Heartbreaker.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No, no, no. We're kidding, people. Don't get this opinion. We're setting a bad opinion of you out there in the world.
Look, no, I honestly, I feel like that in the gay community, I don't think we've got time for it, you know. I feel like we're very much like, it's either on or it's not. Do you know what I mean? And the best way for us to figure that out is by getting into their bed. And once you figure that part out, that's when you figure out if there's a date to follow, or one or two or three, you know, however many.
Yeah, it would be funny if this dating website did that and included the gay community, because it would have set off their statistics completely.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd be like, what? They haven't even gone on a date yet? They're already having sex?
It's exactly like, right. Exactly right. I mean, I don't know. I mean, out of, you know, how many first dates were completed before you went, you know, and had sex with somebody? Because for me, there's not once where there's been a date first.
I'm actually I've got to say I'm usually a third or fifth date kind of gal.
Fifth. Holy.
Yeah, it depends on the person.
Oh, see, that's what this article says too. It's all about how you feel about them and when you think the connection is right. Like all of that, I just feel like if you guys have both had a drink, there's going to be a connection regardless. Like, come on, bring it on.
But you can condense several dates into one.
Oh, can
so
you?
So just do a long talking session and then go, you know what? Oh, yeah.
We're let's there.
Just, that must be three dates by now. Like, you know, sure. We've been talking for 7 hours.
We've
like,
gone through
that's
politics, housing and budget. We're there. It's
we're
time.
There.
We're
go.
Ready. Okay. Let's get relaxed.
You know, but yeah, I used to like to be sure. Sorry. I'm a little bit old fashioned that way. I like to make sure that there's a connection there. Because for me, that connection doesn't.
How do you know? Eye contact? Is that where they get you? Where they're all like, and you get that look. You know that look, that one where you're just like, yep, nah, it's on. It's totally happening.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's the look.
It is the look. But usually what happens with me is that in the past, I've always wanted to know that I have some sort of, like, I want to talk to the person, so I want to be able to have that connection. And
like
that connection is for me. Yeah, I know.
Seems fair.
Yeah, and, you know, at least know their name and, you know, that kind of stuff. Vital details, you know.
Yeah.
Siblings. Okay, good.
You come here often, all those things. They're
yeah,
really important.
Kind of
yeah.
But, yeah, I like to have some sort of a connection with that person, because for me that's important to have.
Definitely.
The other connection, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Look, yeah, I can just know it is the look. But yeah, when I think of my girlfriend and I think of the look, yeah, pretty much when she looked at me, then I knew when we met.
No, but see, that's it. I think it's all in look. I think that first date stuff is because the guy most probably didn't figure it out that it's all in the look until the third date, and then they realised how they could do it.
Yeah, see, maybe he was trying to, yeah, because he wanted to buy three dinners to pay for the $600 dress she just bought. Sorry, $380
exactly.
dress.
Yeah,
that she
yeah,
bought.
Yeah. For the $400, it's up to him to buy it. So, yeah.
You know,
no.
He thought he'd be nice and just help her out. Yeah, help a sister out, you know?
Yeah, give a sister a chance. Well, yeah, no, look, I get it. You know, I guess you got to like them. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily just jump in the sheets with someone you wouldn't like, though. There's got to be some kind of, you know, pulling factor that you're interested in.
Yeah,
you've got to
find them,
you know,
appealing on some level.
Absolutely, absolutely. Otherwise, of course, you wouldn't go there. But I don't know. I feel like a date is my idea of procrastinating. And coming back to this lady's article, it's an expensive procrastination that I feel if everyone's on the same page, then let's save us some money and get some takeaway and go home and watch Family Guy. I mean, that sounds perfect.
So you're a budget kind of gal.
Oh, man. Yes. You know. Keeping strict eyes on the budget, especially for silly things like this, because I honestly think that the cheapest dates, you know, I don't think money has anything to do with it. If you like a person, you like a person. It's got nothing to do financially. And, you know, yes, I like sleeping with people before a first date, but I think personality is important, and I don't think money is what it should be, a defining factor of a person. So if they've gone and shelled out for this first date, I'm bummed about that. I want to know who they are, not who first date nervous crazy lady is. I just want to know, hey, who are you? Who are you on a regular basis, Monday to Friday, and let's see, Saturday maybe.
Yeah, see, I think a lot of lesbians do the coffee date.
Yes. Oh, nice.
So they go for coffee.
Totally.
And that's where they sort of get to know each other and just size each other up before they actually commit to a dinner, because that could be expensive.
Definitely.
Do you pay? Does she pay? Who pays? How does that work? Yeah, do you split it 50-50? True. So I think they do the coffee date. And if the coffee date goes really well, then maybe dessert is one of their houses.
What makes a good coffee date, though? I mean, like, you know, I'm new to this. I've never done a coffee date.
Well, the thing is that if you've met someone in an environment where possibly at a club or something, you couldn't really talk to them.
No.
And you weren't really sure if you have a connection with that person or not. Coffee date is a safe thing because it's basically, it could be interpreted in two ways. So it could be just we're meeting socially for a
chit-chat.
For
how
a chit-chat,
doing?
How are you going? Who are you? You know.
Totally.
Do you know lots of hot lesbians that you can introduce
hook
me
us
to,
up kind of
you
thing?
You know, that
kind
of thing. Or you can turn it into planting. Finding out about them and then getting an idea before you commit to a date.
So it's like a pre-date.
Yeah, it's
so
a pre-date.
It's like a pre-date. So it's like the 0.5. A date's a date, but this is like the, let's just throw this in there and suss you out a bit
and it's
more.
Less pressure. Because for a date, you're putting, like this lady says, you know, $300. So you basically put this pressure on yourself because you know that date's possibly going to lead to something. So you're making sure that, you know, you're groomed.
For 10%, it's leading
there. You know, you think. But for a cup of coffee, you know, anyone can do a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Or a tea or
and
whatever.
Or walk around the market or something like that. And
yeah, or even just sit in a cafe and just chat.
Right. What if it gets awkward? What if I don't know, conversation, what if it goes to that point where they both stop? How can coffee help? Because I think a great way to detract from that.
You can spill coffee on yourself.
Yes, exactly right. Or burn your tongue.
Or you can, but if you've been sitting there for about half an hour, because that's usually about when it would happen.
Oh,
don't
really?
You
you've got some hope. I don't know. I get things awkward
maybe
real
I'm too
quick.
Hopeful. But, you know, maybe after a while. So if you've been sitting there holding your cup for a while, you're not going to be able to fake a, whoops, that's coffee's hot. I've just burnt myself.
I think it'd be great to see, though. Oh,
but you could do the, that coffee went straight through, we have to go to the loo. And then you stand up and leave, and then you think of a strategy, and then you know.
Wait, do you keep walking? Because that seems mean.
No, that's cruel. Never do that, people. Just at least give them the respect and say, then as you come back, have your phone in your hand and say, I'm sorry, I may have to go, work has just contacted me, or something like that. Or
you're an evader. You know how to do it. Well done. Tips from Basha, how to get out of a date. That's winning. That's good to know. I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm going to go on a coffee date, I'll give it a whirl, and if I have to bore, I'm so using that. Definitely.
Because getting your friend, because if you're on a date and you get your friend to call you, that's sort of awkward.
That's super awkward.
Right? And then faking some sort of an emergency, that's horrible.
Yeah.
And bailing on someone unless they're completely horrible and they've done something completely obscene and something completely disgusting.
They've abused your kid.
Then walk away. But otherwise, just, you know, give some respect and maybe just don't do dessert, but maybe just do a main meal or something.
Definitely.
But coffee is easier to get out of because you can just, a coffee date could be 15 minutes, half an hour, maximum an hour. So you have a way of, that's the thing, the beauty of the coffee date is you can actually walk away.
Yeah, no, that's a very good
Because you can
point.
Say, okay, it's great having coffee with you. I now have to get back to work or I have to go and run some errands or whatever and, you know, and hope she doesn't follow you.
Stuff gets weird sometimes.
Yeah, so you just got to...
Didn't
just
work
gotta,
every time, Basha, hey? Had a few
Yeah, you learn with
those.
Experience. You just got to... You got to learn which Bye ones now. Work. Yeah, you know? Because then all of a sudden you have this woman following you and you're thinking, great, I've got errands to do. What am I going to do now? Do people still go to the bank? Let's go to the bank.
What do you feel then on... Not necessarily gate crashes on a date, but bringing people along. First date, I always feel like friends need to do the interrogating first. Like, if we're going to go in that area, you got to hang out with my friends first because my friends don't like you. That's an immediate ta-ta. I'm sorry.
For example, if I'm on a first date with you.
Yes.
And I think it's a date and all of a sudden your friends come, then
Ooh,
for me,
Burnsies.
That is you're introducing me to your group of friends and we're friends.
Bugger.
All right? Never bring friends to the first date. Probably, I think friends should be introduced maybe after date 5.
Whoa, that's huge.
Or a few dates. No, because your friends might just really, you know, I don't know.
In my friends we trust.
Okay, but I just think you're just bringing him in too early. If you're bringing him on the first date,
bringing in the cavalry far too quick.
That's bad.
Yeah, bad. All right, all right.
That's like,
no,
you know,
friends
that's
on
like
dates.
Bringing out the toys on the first evening.
You know? If they ask, you got to do.
You know, you got to. I don't think that's safe. You know, like, I don't know. I just think you're just pushing an envelope there. But
pushing
yeah,
it. I love it.
But if you bring company to the first company. Date, then that to me says. You've now set the ground rule that's friends.
Ah, well, that's also another avoider then. So if they're keen for a first date and you're not, bring friends, and then they'll get the message.
Yeah, so just think and just say, oh, sorry, I didn't realise it was just you and me for coffee. And
well,
this is
played.
My friend Sally.
Yeah, get to know each other. Ta-ta.
We were having a chat and we thought we'd come and join you for your coffee. Oh, you wanted us alone? Oh, sorry.
Whoops. Yeah, no, definitely. That definitely seems like the way. So there you go. 10% on the first date. I'm keen on that percentage. 16 on the second date, 23 on the third. Day. I don't know. Where do you go? You're
I reckon. Yeah, I'm a. Yeah, depends. But I think in our community, it's like 70% pre-date.
Yes, definitely.
20% first date. 10% second date.
What do you think the strike rate is after a coffee date? Then how many of coffee dates turn into a?
Oh no, you can't do too many coffee dates. If you do too many coffee dates, then you cross into friendship area.
Ah, friendship zone. So too many coffees lead to friends.
Yeah, because
wow.
you've got to move it. You've got to move
there are
that
so
relationship.
Many rules.
Well, don't you?
There needs to be a guide. I think.
If you're having a coffee with someone constantly, then you're just having a catch up.
And mad chit chat though. Maybe you know. Maybe it's this super.
But if
like...
you're just going and having, I don't know. I just think coffee for me is just coffee,
friendly.
And it's just not. No, I don't know.
What do you think? Coffee, is it too friendly? I reckon if you're going to go coffee and you enjoy that coffee in that location, hell yeah, rort it. Take them there all the time.
But taking them there all the time, you've never progressed that relationship into that other phase. So you've never shown that romantic phase, right? So you've got to go.
What if you pull the chair out, though? That changes the game.
From under them or?
Well, that changes the game too.
But yeah, no, but you just can't. It's just awkward to move that. Right,
yeah, no.
But if you go to a dinner, you can then do the walk them to their car or walk them home and
walk them to their door where they don't know.
Walk them to their door and then walk into their room and walk to their bed. You know, these kind of things. But yeah,
and the progression goes on from there.
Yeah, but coffee, you know, it's sort of two coffee dates, I think, maximum.
Two maximum. All right,
two in a row, and then you've got to have a dinner or a lunch.
A dinner or a lunch.
And I'd say a dinner.
I feel like dinner is more appropriate than lunch for a first date because. During the day can never be for the first time, I don't think. I think nighttime for the first time. Everyone's a lot more comfortable at nighttime, I think.
All right. So if you've been listening to Basha and Roshan, this is Lay Link on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Lay Link on Joy 94.9. Send us a text on 0427JOY949 or email at onair@joy.org.au. And if you head over to the joy.org.au website right now, on the right-hand side of the screen, you'll see the Lay Link banner. Click on this to connect with us via social media, download our podcast, or just send us an email at laylink@joy.org.au just to tell us that you love us and that you're enjoying our show. Like, we have a message here, someone telling us that they love our show. And Sarah from Wonthaggi is telling us that, hey, girls, you know, she gets asked on coffee dates and she thinks that basically means that they want to be having sex afterwards and that's not for her. So I don't know how this person's asking her for coffee.
Yeah, it seems like a real creeper way of asking.
Hey, would you like to have some coffee?
At my kitchen now.
You know, yeah, I know. Like, I can understand if someone asks you, when do you drink coffee? And I basically say, with my breakfast. So that could possibly mean that, you know, I've spent the... That's me implying that, yeah, I'll spend the night with you and in the morning you can make me a coffee.
That's
you
excellent.
Know. But, yeah, I don't think... I don't know. I've been on coffee dates that have never eventuated into sex.
Can one? I mean, can...
I'm sure you can. You can do anything you want.
I know, if you set your mind to it, I'm sure. But, you know, like with the first date thing, that might turn into sex, but not coffee date. I mean, how many of those turn around to be, all right, let's go back to mine. This is going fantastic.
I know a few people have done it.
Winners.
I know. There's what a way of crimes. Doing it, but no, I've never done it. I just think it's a bit weird.
Too soon?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's just... It puts that whole awkward thing, it's daylight outside.
Absolutely, daylight, yeah.
And then, you know, people have body image images, you know.
Yeah.
You're at someone's house, it's light. Do you want to see all, you know, like...
Yeah, no.
I'm not saying in the dark, but, you know, just... Mood
close
lighting,
curtains.
You know, things like that. It just puts this weird pressure, I don't know.
Of the
For
first
me, coffee's
time.
Coffee and...
Yeah, there's nothing more
there's
that comes from that.
You know, you've got to have a date.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But that's just me. I guess I'm old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Or I'm out of the loop, whatever. But anyway.
Everyone does it different.
Exactly. But yeah, if you're not... So, Sarah, if you're not happy to have sex after coffee, just do the old excuse. Just say you've got to go somewhere and just
got
leave.
Work.
And just say, prep. And you know, just let them know that, look, let's do a dinner. Mm. And then just sort of deflect from the fact that she's wanting to push you into her bedroom and just say,
definitely.
Look, let's have a dinner next week and let's see how it goes. And then just say, okay, I have to go now.
I'm busy all next week, soz.
And, you know, just walk out the door. But do it nicely so that you don't not, because, you know.
No hurt feelings.
She can be the woman
this.
Of your dreams and no, you've just, yes. you know, spilt coffee all over it. So there's this lovely lady who was a lesbian. No, sorry, she was straight.
That's right.
Had a husband. Thought it was all great. And then, you know, she's talking about the fact that, you know, oh, you know, that she's talking about that straight women fantasize about jumping the fence. And if they could go gay, it would be great because, you know, being with a woman would be the best thing in the world. And
we've all got straight friends. We've all had friends say that.
Yeah. But, we you know. Know, the lesbians agree that being with a woman is the best thing
in the
world.
Of course. That's our time to plug and advertise how great it is over on you this know. Awesome site.
And then... Because, you know, she's talking about the fact that these women are complaining about their husbands, that, you know, that they don't hold a proper conversation.
Wow.
That, you know, they're a bit lazy, that they don't nurture their needs and they're not helping them out and stuff like that. And that's why these women think, oh, the best solution would be to find a lesbian. So this woman then, of course, then discovered that she fell in love with a woman. So she decided to leave her husband and become a lesbian. And
yay.
Yeah, so it was good. And then she says, I just think she's just found the wrong person because she's talking about the fact that she's being with this woman and all they do is talk. And that they talk so much that basically then they don't end up having sex because she's talking about lesbian deathbed syndrome, which has been proven that it doesn't exist.
I don't understand how it could exist, to be honest. That baffles me that people think that there's deathbed syndrome. That's a really, really horrifying thought for me that could be reality. That makes me super sad.
No, because they found that the proof was that they'd skewed the results.
Ah, there we
they
go.
They didn't ask. Skewing. The way they asked, no, because the way they asked the questions to these couples, it excluded lesbians.
Aha. See, we
don't
die.
And they didn't think of that. And it took them 20 years to realise that they'd misasked the questions and that they'd then realise, whoops, we've created this whole stereotype and it doesn't exist because we asked the wrong questions.
Yeah, no.
Because they didn't understand about lesbian sex.
Ah.
You know. Anyway, so then this lady was in this relationship with this woman and then she said it just got boring and they basically ended up wearing each other's clothes and sitting at home and talking and talking and talking.
Being sisterly.
And doing nothing.
Sisterly, which just gets freaky to me.
Yeah. And then she tells us about the fact that then she went back to men because she just said that just being with a lesbian was too hard. I think you're with the wrong woman here.
Yeah, I think she's forgetting that all people have flaws. Like, she's knit-knacking about, you know, I had to clean up a bad man, wah. And then things with a woman, oh, she talks too much. Like, okay, you're not going to get the perfect person. The idea of perfect is what you see as perfect. These people are going to do annoying things. Everybody does.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, she's talking about, you know, that men can be insensitive, messy, sexually demanding and crass. Well,
we can be like that.
I was going to say, I know a lot of women that can be a lot of those things, you know, can be forgetful and whatever, you know. It's okay. What's wrong with that?
Exactly.
So you just remind them.
What's today? Is it Wednesday? Oh, I forgot.
It was my birthday last week. Oh, okay.
I didn't check Facebook.
You know, and things like that. So I think this woman is just a little bit angry.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and I think she's, you know, and she's quite annoyed. Anyway, and then she talks about the fact, which really cracked me up. She's talking about the fact that she's saying that there's these high-achieving lesbians and that they don't really do anything apart from achieving. They do all the stuff outside, but their relationships inside are just sort of platonic and stuff. And I'm thinking, honey?
No.
No, you can do both. No. You can go out and have fun. You can go out and do stuff with your friends. You can do lots of things. And, yeah, you can stay at home and cuddle if you want. And you can watch DVDs. And
it just shows what she thinks, though, because she's saying that lesbians, they've got to be so entwined into each other that they're practically one person. Maybe that was her issue.
Well, she's saying that it can be stifling.
Yeah.
Maybe, so
maybe she needed to step back and maybe be like, oh, I need an outside life. You know,
I think maybe she's the clingy one.
Yeah, exactly. And she's hating on all the other clingers because she just doesn't get it. She's a clinger. Stage one.
Yeah, I think so. And she's just putting this blog out there for the world for these straight women to see that, no, don't join our community. And it's like, yeah, great. I want to write like a comment to this woman saying, honey, I just think you met the wrong lesbians and maybe you're not designed to be a lesbian.
Exactly right. It's not for everybody.
Exactly. It's not for everybody. And guess what, Roshan?
Well, I don't know what.
It's the end of our show. I know.
Tragic.
I know. That's flown by.
Ta-ta hour.
I know. That was a quick hour. We had a lot to talk about, though.
We did. There was a lot of fun stuff.
A lot of fun stuff, and giving power to the lesbians, I think, was the aim for today's show when we've done it and given you some dating tips.
Don't spend ridiculous amounts on first dates. Good to know.
Yeah, how to have a good first date.
Yeah.
When to have sex.
When to, yes, I feel that's important.
And don't be hating on the lesbians, straight women.
If you've tried it or not, that's right. Like, if you've tried it, embrace it.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's all right, but, you know. Just because you've done something doesn't mean you can say that anyone that's doing it is now not as good as you.
Exactly.
Hate.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll be here next week. So you've been listening to Basha and Roshan. This is Leylink on Joy 94.9 and good night.
Ta-ta.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.